This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're tuned into The Morning Run with Lynn Shanning and Julian. In about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with Professor Dr. Tajuddin Mohamed Rasti, a social commentator and Professor of Architecture at UCSI University, on the appointment of the new Minister of Religious Affairs, as well as past presence in the new cabinet. But in the meantime, we are taking a look also at corporate figures present in Malaysia's cabinet. And we are running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, should we have more non-politicians in cabinet? We've had 75 votes, 40% said yes, but not too many, 35% just said yes, 16% said no, 9% said not sure. Do continue to let us know what you think. Now, part of the reason that we're asking this is because Tengku Datuk Sri Zafrul Tengku Aziz, the now former group CEO of CIMB Group, has been appointed as the country's new finance minister by Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin.
It's not only because he's not a politician, but also because this cabinet post is a powerful and influential one and is normally reserved for senior figures within the ruling political party. In fact, on many occasions, the Prime Minister has held the post. Tun Mahathir held the post shortly after the 1998 Asian financial crisis, and also the post was also held by Abdullah Ahmad Badawi.
Yeah, and then when he retired, Dato' Sri Najib took it up for 10 years from the start of his tenure as Prime Minister in September 2008 until the May 2018. Now, back to Tengku Zafrul. Now, he started his career in banking in the finance sector as a corporate finance exec with M Investment Bank in 1996, joined Credit Agricole as an investment analyst after, and then joined Avenue Capital Resources, now known as ECM Libra, where he was also appointed Group MD. Fun fact, he's only 46 years old.
Yeah, so for some thoughts on bringing corporate leaders into the government like this, we this morning have on the line with us Ali Salman, CEO of the Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Ali. So what are your thoughts on bringing these corporate figures and technocrats into the cabinet? What's the benefit that you might see here?
Yeah, good morning. I think in general, in theory, some of the corporate figures and technocrats can bring, the policy knowledge, can bring value, can bring a neutral perspective on the table. Sometimes it is helpful to have a sort of non-political view in solving these important policy problems. But I have two different thoughts here. So first of all, I think it is a political garment, and in any democracy, public policy making is far more complex than corporate structures. And I have my doubts in general whether a corporate training can always be helpful in dealing with far more complex bureaucratic and political issues. Particularly because the chain of command and also the chain of accountability are very different. And my second view on while we are on this point is actually I was looking at the 12 portfolios within the cabinet who are related with the economy. So you mentioned our finance, but I looked at, for instance, international trade. I looked at agriculture, tourism, Ministry for Economy. One fun fact is that only one out of these 12 is non-politician. So I don't want to make, to be honest, too much from this one appointment, although it's important to carry a general impression about the direction of cabinet appointments.
So Tengku Zafrul is actually being appointed at a time with tremendous economic challenges like the COVID-19 as well as plunging oil prices. Yeah. What do you think are some of the policy options that he can at least think about or announce in spite of the political challenges that you mentioned?
So I think one of the first thing for him and for the cabinet in general, the challenge would be to restore the investors and business community trust. We saw that trust sliding down in last 2 years as measured by different surveys which were done over this time. So that business sentiment needs to be restored. I think the government needs to come out with a clear economic strategy. and also address some of the key concerns which the business community has been expressing in terms of the future direction of the country, revenue loopholes, and other long-term challenges.
And just back to this question, because do we have any clarity as to which ministry now is in charge of GLCs and GLICs since the Ministry of Economic Affairs no longer exists?
Yeah, GLCs in Malaysia is a complex phenomena, and they may not be easily fall into one ministry because some GLCs would be under the Prime Minister office supervision. Some GLCs would be under specific ministries, as we have seen. If you ask my opinion, I think that you know, from a central policy point of view, maybe the PM office can act as a coordinating function. So we have a Minister of Economy in the PM office, Datuk Seri Mustafa Mohamad, and I think providing a general and a common frame to reform GLCs can be a good starting point. Government needs to define its role in running these GLCs, and as we have at Ideas Platform has said many times, that it needs to reduce its footprint. So I think there has to be a clear coordinating mechanism, which is currently absent.
So Ali, what policies from the previous government may potentially be unwound now that we have a new cabinet in place, or even implementation of Budget 2020 and the stimulus package? What can we expect to see from all of this?
Well, given the challenges and especially the global challenges, COVID-19 and the business sentiment, which was not so strong earlier, I understand that the stimulus package would be continued to be implemented, and I do not see any significant changes in the budget. They should be preparing for the next budget in a couple of months' time. One of the key concerns would be for them to see how to reduce gradually the government dependence on oil revenue, given the recent shocks the global oil market has observed.
Ali, in spite of your reservations about appointing what Tunku Zafrul is known to be, a technocrat, into the government, given a clean slate, what do you think are some of the policies, whether structurally or operationally, that Malaysia should implement?
Yeah, my personal view is that I think it helps if let's say, you know, someone having a broader view of the economy would be in charge of such an important ministry, and I think sometimes a background in banking and investment can lead to maybe less than comprehensive understanding of the economy. Having said that, the important thing would be to bring transparency into the matters of Ministry of Finance. I think the previous administrations has actually taken some positive measures toward it. So, for instance, how the procurement reforms were being carried out. So that needs to be carried out, and also other measures which can actually integrate and bring back the business trust back into the policy making.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Ali. And that was Ali Salman, CEO of the Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs, better known as IDEAS, talking to us about corporate figures in the government. Now, Tunku Zafrul has also talked about, you know, asked for time to kind of get a handle on all of the various moving cogs in the finance ministry. And interestingly, he said that seeing as he's not a politician, he does hope that his tenure as finance minister will be free of political influence, which has, I think, come under fire a little bit because, there's some concern over whether he would actually be able to do the job without that political influence.
Yeah, that's right. I think there was some pushback from Bong Mukhtar saying that the finance ministry is always a political job. But a vote of confidence from Tan Sri Wahid Omar, who is glad to see a competent technocrat in Tunku Zafrul at the MOF, quote unquote.
Well, we wish him the best of luck because the economy really needs a bit of a booster. I mean, tough times ahead. COVID-19, oil prices plummeting. Let's hope we can resolve some of our long structural issues that the country continues to face.
And in the meantime, we are headed into the 7:30 news bulletin. And then after that, we're speaking with James McCormick, Global Head of Sovereign Ratings at Fitch Ratings, on the dual impact of the COVID-19 outbreak and the oil price crashing on sovereign credit fundamentals. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.